strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with DJ Humphries. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Boy, what a good job at the point of attack right there.
DJ Humphries pumping his chest and his fist after the Cardinals move the sticks.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
And DJ Humphries.
I'm not trying to just get in the way. I'm trying to whoop you.
Unleash the fury!
Here we go, the original Thursday night football. And I'll tell you what, the Big Apple has nothing on the Big Red Rage, Ron Wolfley.
That's right, Paulie.
You know what I'm talking about over there?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Cardinals and Giants have been playing since 1926. But forget the history lessons here tonight, back when Wolf played. On Sunday, New York's going to be introduced to the future of football. Are they not in the Arizona Cardinals 2019? Let that wash over you, Ron Wolfley. It is the Big Red Rage, everyone, with DJ Humphries. How about it?
Hey, how y'all doing?
So, Wolf, as you might be able to tell by Paulie Pencilneck over here, I really have never had any experience playing O-line.
Right.
Okay. But when an O-line goes out and doesn't give up a sack, and they don't give up a quarterback hit, and they have over 100 yards rushing as a team. Is that a good game?
That is an excellent game right there, Paulie. It doesn't get too much better for an offensive line statistically, right? But what I like is when you go inside the numbers, when you look at the tape, you see a lot of good stuff too as well. That's the thing you always want to do, Paulie. Match up the numbers with what you're actually seeing on tape.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel as good right now as the O-line has been looking lately?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I think we're starting to understand how a lot of stuff works and a lot of the stuff that coach is teaching us, the techniques, and we're starting to implement them, and stuff is starting to work for us, and it's definitely falling in our direction.
How do you guys judge a game, a performance, as an O-line? What I just cited, would I hear that in an O-line meeting room, or does Coach Kugler use different metrics, if you will?
That's definitely something that's said. We definitely have to talk about that. You know, that's for us to go out there and do that in this league, that's a big deal, you know. So that was something that was said in front of the team. And, you know, obviously Cougs echoed it once we got in the room. But when we turn that film on, we're still grading it. Like, you know, win, lose, or draw, it's always room for error, room for growth. And we're still grading it, ready to improve every time.
When you talk about that being said in front of the team, what specifically was it? The fact that Kyler did not get hit? Was that said in front of the team specifically?
Oh, no, just those same stats that he
said.
Yeah, stats? Yeah. Because, you know, that's like you said, for offensive line, when we go out, we're trying to always get at least 100 yards. And we're never trying to give up a sack. You know what I mean? So for us to go out and check those boxes off with a win, it's got to be acknowledged.
That is so cool that Cliff Kingsbury does that, right?
Exactly,
gets up in front of the team and actually points that out, man. Because we all know. I mean, that's where it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Down in the blood work. Trenches. Down in the trenches, baby. Trenches. Give me that all day.
Because he won't answer the question, what's the identity of the offense? We've all asked it, us media, pencil necks, you know, multiple different ways. You know, the identity of the offense. Wait. You know, to me, the identity is balance these last couple of games. Balance. That you guys are be able to run and pass, and one complements the other. Would you agree with that?
Mystery.
All the mystery right now. Oh, no.
So apparently the head coach has sworn the entire roster to secrecy whenever we ask the identity of the offense question.
That's just how we roll. That's how we roll. When you become a band of brothers in a fraternity, you know what I mean? That's how I go. No secrets out. No worries in.
Hey, you watch it on tape. It ain't no mystery. I'm just telling you that right now. You watch it on tape. The use of a lot of tight ends. 11 personnel, 12 personnel, running the ball, doing it in a more physical way, a little play action as well. There's no doubt about it. As Hump has said in the past, the kind of football we like.
Mm. Yes.
A little bloody knuckle football.
Yes.
Well, that's no mystery, right? You don't have to ask you twice to run the football,
oh, no.
Correct?
No. We're always out there trying to gain some yards on the ground. That's what we like to do. It sets up everything for us.
You got to let the butt guts eat.
You got to let them eat, baby. The butt guts?
I tell you what.
It's a new one.
The 2015 draft is going to be featured prominently. You against Marcus Golden on Sunday. And then the 2015 draft out of Florida next on the Big Red Rage, DJ Humphreys.
Bryant on to tie the game. The ball is down. The kick is up. And he missed it. He missed it wide to the left. Oh, my goodness. Bryant ripped his helmet off. He can't believe it as he walks dejected back to the Falcon sideline. Arizona 34, Atlanta 33 with a minute 53 to go. He yanked it.
Oh, my goodness.
Takes a snap, takes a knee, and the Arizona Cardinals win their second straight game. They beat the Atlanta Falcons 34-33.
At least Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley were paying attention to the extra point. Because on the Cardinals' sideline, the offense, DJ Humphreys, back on the Big Red Rage here, all brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. You guys were getting ready to go out on that field. I know Cliff Kingsbury even said afterwards he wasn't really paying attention to the point, because everyone was getting together to preparing to go on another game-winning drive.
Yeah. We had prepared ourselves to go out there and win it. So when he missed it, we were like, oh, my goodness. Let's go out and get a first down now. Get this W and get on home. So that was definitely one of those ones that the football guys was looking down on us for sure.
It's funny how that works, though, right? You don't beat yourself, right? You know, no turnovers, no sacks. You don't beat yourself. And then every once in a while, guess what? The other team will do exactly that to themselves. So the Cardinals get the win, aiming for their first three-game win streak if they get a W Sunday in New York. First three-game win streak for the Cardinals since 2015. Think about that. And speaking of 2015, that is our segue into your special guest tonight. You both came out of the draft in 2015. You both came out of the same school, Florida. This man won a ring his rookie year with Denver. He has over 40 starts under his belt, and now he's getting into the mix coming off the injured reserve. Everyone say hello to Max Garcia.
Hey, nice, Max.
How's it going?
All right. So, Big Max, you guys are about as comfortable with each other as maybe any other teammates on this roster right now, because you guys go way back.
Oh, yeah. We've definitely known each other the longest, for sure, I would say. Probably outside of Pat and Larry. They've probably been around each other.
True.
Yeah.
For those guys, yeah. That's right.
So, Hump, how would you describe Max? For some of us that haven't really been around Max a lot, how would you actually describe Max Garcia?
Man, calm, cool, collected, super fly, Latino brother. That's the best way to describe my guy, man. And when it come time to get dirty in them trenches, he the first one to grab his lunch
right?
pail. You know what I'm saying? He ready to go at all times. So you can take that cool guy and take it for light if you want to, and then he can punch you in the mouth. So
there you go.
You
that's
love that.
My kind of guy right
my
there.
Guy.
Now, Max, let me flip that over. Well, what would you say? How would you describe DJ Humphreys?
Oh, man.
DJ, I mean, what's not to say about it? He's just a great dude to be around, honestly. Always bringing the energy, always inspiring the room, laughing, to get down and do business on the football field. That's one thing I like about DJ. He's just so dynamic. And he's just a great dude to be around.
Do you know where the skeletons are in his closet? Do you know where? You guys, hey, we all know about college, all
good
right?
I'm good cleaning hosts of both of us. Both of us.
Well, believe me, I've done a lot of things as well. Paul, save us.
All right. Well, look, if it's all about you, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, first off, we got to get an update. Where are you right now, Max Garcia, in your rehab? What's your status? You're back participating to some degree this week. You give us the latest.
Right. So I got designated to be on the PUP list, physically unable to perform due to my ACL injury last November, playing for the Broncos. Been rehabbing hard since then. I actually wanted to come back at the end of training camp, but it was a better decision to wait and just be as healthy as possible, to return this season. So right now I am still on the PUP list, but practicing this week. This actually, today was my first day being able to, you know, thud up, put the pads on, and, you know, be out there and be with the guys.
Mm. How did that feel, Max?
I'm feeling it right now. I mean, my head's throbbing, my neck's kind of sore already, but I love it. I love being back out there. You know, I love to play. I love to be physical. That's, like, that's what I love to do. Like DJ was saying, I'm cool, calm, and collected, you know, off the field, but I love to get dirty.
Yeah, so what about the knee, though? How did that feel?
The knee felt great. Obviously, there's things you have to do as far as, like, getting into, you know, football shape and, like, just coordination-wise, things that are different. You know, you got bodies around you, and that's something you can't really simulate, you know, off the field, no matter, like, what kind of drills you're doing. You can never simulate actually being around other guys and having to react, you know, just live.
I mean, DJ, you know about knee rehab. Mentally, what was it like? Did you have to get some real action under your belt just mentally to trust it?
Oh yeah, it's definitely always, obviously we went through different things, so rehab I'm sure was a lot different from him versus what I had going on both times, but it's always those times coming off knee injuries, and I'm sure all of them where you have to get out there and some live action's got to happen and some stuff you got to go through a little wear and tear before you start trusting yourself all the way. And it, you know what I mean? It's definitely a process. So I understand, and I'm excited for him to be able to start turning away at that process, because I know it's definitely one that you definitely have to get through. And it's one of the toughest ones, I feel like.
So, Max, what is your timetable now? I mean, how would you like this thing to unfold?
Right. So – So since I practiced on Wednesday, the team has 21 days to make a roster move. So to either activate me, put me on IR the rest of the year, or, you know, do whatever else. So, I mean, for me, I want to play. You know, I want to be active. I want to get going. And that all really comes down to how I perform during practice, you know, how well the coaches see that I'm doing, and, like, just trusting me, you know, to be out there. So really, it just comes down to how I'm doing at practice. But I feel great. You know, I only feel like I'll get better and better from here.
Well, I tell you what, your return is just yet another way this team has been trending up lately. They get their second straight win. In fact,
yep.
Here's the locker room scene. You guys were there. We'll let everyone in. AZCardinals.com, the postgame speech from the head coach.
Hey, hear me on this. Y'all know how football goes, right? That first month, the ball did not bounce our way one time. Well, guess what? It started to turn for us, right? The harder you work, the more you prepare, the more it turns. Right, it's a hell of a job. Had a great week of practice. Let's get it rolling again. Go to New York and make it number 3. All right, congratulations. Nice.
All right, what'd you like the most about the win, DJ? And I'm guessing you might say red zone, considering the Cardinals were 3-for-4 in touchdowns in the red zone. Would I be correct on that?
100%. Especially when you sprinkle in a little red zone run touchdowns, you know. That's definitely always what we're going for. So for us to be able to go out and execute some things that we've been hammering home, trying to make sure that we need to improve on stuff that's been holding us back, I feel like that's always what you're looking for every week. So if we can continue to make those trends and execute everything that we're doing wrong from the week before, it's going to be hard to stop our offense.
So, you know, there are people out there saying you guys got lucky winning that game, right? What do you say to that, Deej? What do you say to that?
This is the NFL.
Yeah. This is the NFL. That's all you're going to say? I'll say this right here. Let me say it.
How it happens. If that W go up in that margin, nobody measures how many points you won by or how many points. Nobody measures that at any year. When the playoffs come in, it's never into, oh, they scored this many points. So that is wins and losses. So I could care less, honestly.
I would point to the 422 total yards.
Oh,
I would point to that right there. I would point to being 54% on third down. That's getting it done. 75%, as you said, in the red zone right now. I would point to so many other metrics that said this was a team that went out there and played really, really well. Now, listen. Do you have to finish games defensively? There's no doubt about it. You got to finish games defensively. But Pat P coming back is going to be a big help for this team. You always, on one play, a given play, you might get lucky on a play or two. But you know what? When you amass those kinds of numbers, it was nothing about luck that actually allowed you guys to win that game.
Second straight game, the Cardinals are up 2 scores in the fourth quarter. And then it was all of a sudden a tight game. But that's what Cliff Kingsbury's message this week was. You got to finish. We'll continue to talk about that one. And where the Cardinals rank in the top 10 in offense on the Big Red Rage, DJ Humphries and Max Garcia, presented by Santan Ford. Murray takes the snap. Handoff Johnson up the middle. Touchdown! From 1 yard out, the Cardinals are 2 for 2 in goal-to-go situations. They lead it 16-7.
You give me 3 dirt lickers up front, and I'll get that thing in. And that's exactly what happened right there. Great job coming off the ball.
All right, so Ron Wolfley, for those who don't have their Wolf to English translation dictionary handy, what exactly is a dirt licker here on the Big Red Rage? DJ Humphries, Max Garcia, they might be interested to know. How would you define dirt licker?
Yeah, dirt licker, Paulie, is a guy that plays really, really low. His pad level is really, really low naturally, right? And I think the 3 dirt lickers that we had up there on that side of the line got the job done. Okay. Came off the ball and removed the line of scrimmage. I mean, absolutely destroyed them. So, yeah, there was some dirt licking going on, Paul.
Okay. All right. No, it's good. I actually didn't know that. All these years, I didn't quite remember that definition. So you always hear in football, DJ Humphries, that lower pad level wins. True or false?
True. I think most of the time true. Sometimes there's some freaks out here that defy all those laws, but I think most of the time true for sure.
So on the goal line, like if you were giving me a goal line 101, what would you tell me, a tutorial? What's key at the goal line when you got to come off and you got 1 yard and everybody knows you're going to try and run it for 1 yard?
Make sure your first step gains ground and try to get your head across wherever you're trying to go, get your hips across and make sure that you're hitting on the rise. When I say hit on the rise, I mean once you get ready to make contact, it's like a dip motion that you're doing. When you come up, you raise their pads up, and once you raise their pads up, most of the time those guys are fat, so they get really tired, and then you can run the feet.
Roll them hips,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're going to roll them hips. Yeah, baby. Bring those violent hands,
exactly,
too, Paulie. Bring those hands up there big time.
I feel like I did it in a nice voice, too, so it was like calm.
It's good. Yeah, it was tutorial. It was educational. It was good.
Max, would you agree, though? I mean, that really is the way offensive linemen are for the most part, right? You don't get a lot of offensive linemen that are screaming in the huddle, right? That you don't get a lot of you guys are really under control a lot of the time. Now, you always have your exceptions. There's no doubt about that. But right, would you agree with that for the most part? You guys are pretty under control.
Yeah, I would say so. I feel like just playing offensive line, you have to be level-headed. Because when you do just start to, you know, just be out of yourself, people kind of like see that and they feel that. And they kind of feel like the defense is maybe getting in your head.
Right.
I know when I start talking trash, that's when I know that the defense is in my head because I don't ever talk trash. So even if I'm having a great game, you know, it's I'm always level-headed, and I think most offensive linemen have to be that way because there's just so much going on, and we just have to prepare and analyze and do so many things before the snap.
See, that was the great thing about being a fullback and a wedge buster. You could be out of control all the time. Just out of control, and nobody cared.
Yeah,
that was the best thing about it, Deej.
That's like he was saying, the offensive line is different, man. You, a defensive player can be out of control. You know what I mean? Being out of control, you might fall into a sack. You know, we right, we go out of control, we can kill you on one play, and now we're playing out of our mind, and then right, 40 plays go by, we get whooped by 30 out of those plays, and now you're
right,
awful. So
right,
that's it's a different game for sure. You got to be level-headed.
But, Max, 3rd and goal from the 1. I mean, your adrenaline has to be sky high at that point.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But it's all internalized. And, I mean, once, you know, you get that cadence and you come off the ball, that's the time that you exert, you know, all that, you know, pent-up aggression and just all that, you know, anxiousness.
Well, I tell you what, Kyler Murray, he knows how valuable the run game has been. Ron Wolfley, here's your quarterback talking about the run game.
When you're running the ball, it opens up things, pass game, play action, everything like that. So, you know, I try to use my legs when I can, you know, when it's there. And, you know, Dave and Chase have done a great job. Our O-line's blocking their tails off, and, you know, it's been great.
And that's the thing, DJ. I mean, it's a 3-headed rushing attack. It's David, it's Chase, and it's your quarterback. And you had mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Look, if you can get the run game in gear, it just gets everything else in motion, including the play action, which you guys have seen the benefit of, right?
Yeah. It puts the defense in a position where they have to play you safe. And when you start playing safe, that's when you can start manipulating mismatches. You know what I mean? Knowing that this guy can do this better than this guy, and this guy is faster than this guy, so now they have to play us soft and we can run by this guy. You know, you can start setting things up and running this play that looks like, you know, you can really run your offense the way that you want to do it when you're having an efficient run game, because you know at any moment that 5-yard run that we broke that one time and we came back to it another 4 plays later, it could turn into a 20-yard run. So that's where defenses learn today. Know that they have to play us honest, so it gives us a chance to take advantage of a lot of stuff.
Max, I know you've been sitting there and you've been watching this film, right? And I know you can't wait to get out there as well, right, and contribute. But you look at this offense and the development of this offense here, it really is evolving, isn't it? It has gone from 10 personnel to now all of a sudden using in a lot of tight ends,
right,
actually getting tight ends reps out there. And it's made a total difference. You know what's amazing about it? The more use of the tight end, the higher the numbers go offensively, right? Why right. is that, in your opinion?
Honestly, I think we're just, like, finding our niche. You know, it takes a little while. It takes a few games to know what you do best, know what the guys are comfortable with, know what the coaches are comfortable, you know, calling. So, you know, we've played, you know, 6 games already, and I think, you know, we're finally starting to find what our niche is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's playing those tight ends. And, you know, it's us sometimes, you know, being really up-tempo, sometimes it's kind of slowing it down. So we're kind of getting adjusted and seeing, you know, what we do best.
You know what I love about guys? I love the fact it's an offense that is evolving. There's no doubt about that, right? But it's a blending. I see the blending of the old and the new. I see this, right? The illusion of complexity is definitely there. There's no doubt. I look at the shifting, right? The unbalanced line and the shifting that you guys did a couple of weeks ago. The jet motion right now, right? The use of different personnel groups and different formations. A quad formation. 4 receivers, 2 aside. I love what I'm seeing right now. This is an offense that is in a state of flux right now, Paulie. And where it goes, I don't know. But I love what I'm seeing right now, and I know these guys feel the same way.
Well, if you look at some of the numbers right now, as we said, trending up. I mean, you look at a Cardinals offense that's number 9 in total offense right now. I mean, how about 28 scoring drives? That's 5th in the NFL. Yards per carry is number 5, DJ Humphries. Think about that. And then you look at the way Kyler's playing the position and the fact the Cardinals are tied for the fewest giveaways in the NFL with only 4 turnovers.
With a rookie QB.
Rookie quarterback. What are you seeing on film? What are you seeing on film? What are you seeing in practice? Give us the latest, the state of Kyler update. What impresses you the most so far about your rookie quarterback?
I think it's just the continued growth and the continued level of intensity and the way that he's preparing himself for the games and stuff like that. I think that's what's been impressing me the most. He's consistent in the way that he's doing things, and he's making a lot of smart decisions out there on the field that you can see him progressing from the beginning of the season to now.
You know, Max, you guys are going to the East Coast, obviously, right? Hey, here you go. You're going into New York and the Big Apple and all these. A lot of these East Coast media guys who drive the narrative quite a bit in this country are going to see Kyler Murray for the first time. What do you know that they're going to find out? What would you say if they asked you about him?
I mean, I know hands down they'll say that he's a competitor. First and foremost, he loves to play the game. And that's one thing we see at practice all the time. Like, he's always, you know, always has the ball in his hand, always just throwing it around with someone because he loves the game. And I think that they'll see a guy that, like DJ said, is evolving and growing. He's taking care of the football. He's not taking those sacks and throwing the ball away. That's huge, you know, for a rookie quarterback to understand, you know, this early in the game. So I think those are a few things that they'll see.
In terms of running the ball more in the red zone, did you guys speak up? I mean, honestly, you know, you're laughing, Max, but you guys, I know how offensive linemen are.
I know how
you are.
You
want to run the ball.
Oh, yeah, you always got to give those sweet nudges, you know. You don't want to be too aggressive. You don't want to be too brash. You got to, you know,
absolutely
rub your back when you tell them. Be like, hey, you know, we can do this, man. Look at the 907. We're knocking these guys off the ball. We can do it.
All right, you know? That's too creepy right now.
So you got to do it. It worked. I'm telling you, it worked.
But you guys did let your feelings be known, I'm sure. Right?
Oh, yeah. You have to, you know. It's
a conversation.
It's not hard to see, you know. It's not a long conversation that has to be had, you know. It's clear.
It's the Big Red Rage, DJ Humphries, Max Garcia here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford Cardinals getting ready to take off for New York.
Snap to Murray, rolls right. Now looking back to the left, lobs it for Williams, caught at the 10 to the 5, and Williams is hit, hits the pylon, and is in. Touchdown!
12 personnel, one back, two tight ends. Andy Isabella on the speed motion across the formation. A little rollout by Kyler Murray. Look, everybody, look over here, and then you throw it back to a wide open Max Williams, and Max got it in.
Putting the wide into wide open on that one. No doubt about it. Max, double X. And you know what? It was some Big Red Rage karma for Max Williams, former guest right here. Sort of like we have Max Garcia tonight, the special guest of DJ Humphries, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. We'll get into that in a minute. But first, Max Garcia, for those who maybe haven't seen your name in print, is it one X or two?
Just one.
Just one. Yeah. Okay. Now, you don't have any, like, X envy or anything with Max Williams, do you? That's not a point of contention with you, is it?
No, but now that I'm back on the field, it's kind of like, Max, and we both, you know, turn our heads. So we're going to have to make a compromise. Somebody's going to have to use a nickname or something.
Oh, well, DJ, you've been around Max Garcia here for a number of years. What is his nickname, by the way? Do tell. Come on. You got to have a nickname if you're an O-liner.
I call him Maximilian, but I don't think anybody else calls him that. Okay. I think that's just always what I've called him, like, as long as I know him, Maximilian. Yeah. So I don't know if anybody else calls him that, though. Okay. We call Max Frat Max, and he hates it. So I think we'll just start calling him. So I call him that.
By the way, Max Williams got a hard time from Larry and some of the fellas about his touchdown, his catch and run sort of unfolded in slow motion.
Yeah.
There were like three W's in slow. and you guys are laughing because, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad. Was it really in that much of a slow motion? I mean, what's going on?
It looked like a tackle pass.
That's what it looked like. Exactly what it was.
It looked like a tackle pass, didn't it?
Yeah.
He got it in, though, right?
He got it in.
That's all that matters.
What he said he was trying to do, he said he was preparing. He was taking steps to prepare himself to jump over the dude. He was trying to prepare to jump over him, so.
But that,
I guess I can take that.
He did that in college, by the way. He vaulted a guy in college. He did. Yeah. He hurdled. There's a highlight.
You know what,
he hurdled
a
guy.
I saw that, as a matter of fact, yeah. Paulie, right there. But, guys, you know what? Honestly, for the most part, as a former player, just call the play, coach. Just call the play. This is just me, my mentality. Call the play. We'll execute it, right? We'll execute it. If you – I don't care what play call you have. Are there some play calls that will put you at a disadvantage based on some defenses that are out there? There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt. But still – do your job. Do your job. Execute the play, and the play will work, or can work, has a chance of working. Having said that, that play call, that was a big-time play call right there. You know me. I don't jump all over play calling, good or bad, for the most part. If you just go out and execute and do your job, you're going to be fine. But that was a play call right there, wasn't it, Deitch?
Oh, yeah, I think it was. It was one of those ones that we never actually practiced at live speed.
You didn't in no, live speed.
No. I should say the protection.
Yes.
I should say the protection. So we were kind of out there a little bit of in a disarray, but Kyler was able to make some magic work, and he had enough time to flick it over to Max.
Paulie, what I loved about that, too, is just the strength of the formation, and then you bring Andy Isabella. Here he comes. He's jetting across, right? And it's just look over here, look over here. You had the play action pass, a little rollout, and then the throw back to Max Williams. Perfectly designed, perfectly executed.
Well, Wolf, that's why we nicknamed him I Andy. Not I Candy, but I Andy, because boom, there he goes. And everyone went with him, their eyes and some of the defenders, and then Max Williams wide open to the left in the opposite direction. In fact, speaking of play calling, here's Larry Fitzgerald on that topic.
I mean, the defensive linemen, you can hear them breathing, and they're gasping for air, trying to get out. There's miscommunication, who's in, who's not in, what coverage are we playing? You hear all this talking while you're lining up and playing, and, you know, playing with that kind of speed puts the defense in a real bind, and a big play to David, you know, up the sideline for 30 yards on the check. I mean, when you get 30 yards on the check down, I mean, you know, those are the type of plays you want.
That's another one where a guy was wide open, David Johnson, on that one. So tempo is a factor, is a competitive advantage for this Cardinals offense so far, Deej?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like Larry said, it's a lot of times we get those guys worn out. You know, sometimes you get caught in the butt of it sometimes, or you're trying to go fast and they stop it, and they're able to sub guys in really quick, and and now you're huffing and they got fresh guys in there. So sometimes you catch the butt of it, but for the most time, those guys are out there huffing, man, and it makes things a lot makes us able to turn a lot of stuff, and it definitely, the longer the game goes on, it just definitely affects that pass rush a lot.
But a lot of times, you guys are not going big-time up-tempo, are you? It's kind of a muddle situation, right, Max?
Yeah. Yep. Oh. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, like, we'll line up on the ball, have a hurry-up play. And other times, I mean, we'll just do, like you said, a muddle huddle. Everybody's just on the line.
See,
just waiting
for
the
that.
Call.
I love that. It keeps the defense guessing. It does. Everything is about keeping the defense off center, right? Keep them guessing. And, man, I just love the blending of the old and the new that we're seeing right now, Paulie. There's no doubt about it.
Well, a lot of times, too, you get a first down, and then, boom, guys are on the ball. And then all of a sudden the tempo starts. It might kick in at times. I mean, we've seen that as well. So, Max Garcia, we're going to play Max Williams' touchdown catch again, except this time it's going to be in Spanish. Did I hear earlier you're fluent in Spanish?
Sí, al español.
Nice. That's good because you're bilingual, I'm monolingual. So here we go. The great Gabby Trujillo on the Arizona Cardinals Spanish radio network.
Kyler Murray toma la posición escopeta, cruza delante de Landy Isabella. Se rola Murray hacia la derecha, el pase es hacia la izquierda. Jugada diseñada para mandarle el flotado a Max Williams. Conexión de 20 yardas. Kyler Murray. Max Williams. Touchdown. Harry. Zona.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Outstanding.
Sounded like having so much fun.
All right, so you followed every word of that then, obviously.
Most of them.
With a little extra punctuation on it at the very end.
Yeah, at the end. I didn't know what he was saying until he finished it with Arizona. I was like, all right, I thought he was saying Harry at first.
Yep. Oh, well, speaking of professional voices, Max, do we also understand that you're a guy that, I don't know, in the shower, in the locker room, that you're a guy, if the boombox isn't on, then maybe they go to you for a quick tune? Is that what I'm understanding here, guys? Huh? He's inclined to be able to sing.
Very musically inclined.
Really? Okay.
Very, man. He's a very modest guy. So, like I said before, keep it calm and cool. He won't show it off, but if he's asked,
Most of the time when I'm asked, I'll do it.
Well, can you drop a couple of bars for us? I mean,
yeah, I'll do so. I'm out go to always is Montel Jordan. This is How We Do It. It's a great karaoke song. I'm sure a lot of you guys know it. It goes, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. It's Thursday night, and I feel all right. The party's here on the west side.
Nice.
Nice to meet
you. Nice.
I don't think we've had that in the Big Red Rage since D-Wash back in the day, actually, was very musically inclined. So there you go. That's going back a ways. Very nice. Did you grow up in a musically a talented family?
I grew up, a lot of times singing at church. I was in chorus in elementary school, played saxophone in middle school. Always loved music. I was always, tapping or drumming on something and always actually, singing a tune in the shower. But now, I've been more comfortable, just doing it in public most of the time in karaoke settings.
Because you know you're good, right?
A little bit. I'm just not shy.
That's awesome, man.
I get this image of him in the school band, like a freshman in high school, and then the coach goes, wait a minute, the trumpet player is 6'4", 300 pounds. Can we get him in the huddle and on the O-line?
That's how it goes.
When were you identified as a potential O-lineman? How old were you when they said, you know what? This guy's off the growth charts. He might want to put him at the line of scrimmage.
My sophomore year of high school. My whole life I was a D-lineman. My coach told me he was going to play. I wore number 9 my freshman year of high school. My coach told me I was going to play tackle. I was like, I gained a little bit of weight. I can play D-tackle. He was like, no, left tackle. I was like, I'm transferring. I'm about to be the best pass rusher in the state. There's no chance I'm playing left tackle.
With your feet, man, you knew you were destined to play left tackle.
Man, that's what my dad told me. Yeah, my dad's like, baby, dude, you're 6'5", and you're not D. What are you doing?
Doomed.
All right, outstanding. Max Garcia, DJ Humphreys. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
intercepted in the end zone by Patrick Peterson. Throws a deep ball right side. It's overthrown and a one-handed interception by Patrick Peterson inside the 15-yard line.
You might want to look at the other side, bro. You don't want to throw at that, man.
Throws over the middle and it is nearly picked off. It is intercepted by Patrick Peterson and the Cardinals are going to win the ball game.
All right, so the elite cover cornerback, the headline that we threw out there this week, Ron Wolfley, the corner is back, Patrick Peterson, after the six-game suspension. And there he was early on Monday, first guy into the building. There he was on Tuesday, according to Vance Joseph, walking in with some notes and some suggestions and what to do about game planning and some schemes. And there he is with like three or four rookies in the DB room. So Patrick Peterson is indeed back. We're back in the Big Red Rage. DJ Humphries, Max Garcia, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. And DJ, you know, over the last three, 4 years, I mean, you can't miss him, right? I mean, on side of the locker room, not only is he a big-time player, but he's got the big-time personality as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's always a pleasure to have Pat around. He's just one of those guys that you love to have around, and we've been missing him, so love to see him back in the building. I told him a couple times, I said, man, I'm so happy to see you sitting in that locker room, man. It's good to see you.
So do you guys have any thoughts on how he changes Vance Joseph and this defense schematically?
I always feel like if you got a guy that you know that's going to lock up your best receiver, you can always play a little bit more aggressive. So I'm interested to see how they adjust and how it's different, you know, because it's Pat, so you know it's going to be different.
And talk a little bit about Byron Murphy and what you're seeing from Byron Murphy and his development opposite of Pat Pino.
I think it's cool when you see people get thrown into adversity and thrown into the fire, and they don't bat an eyelash. You know, even when they get burned a little bit, they're still trying to figure out how to work it out. And that's one thing that I love to see from Byron is he hasn't had a moment where it's been too big for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Every moment he's attacked it, whether it's been successful or unsuccessful, every moment that he's had, he's attacked it. So that's always something that you love to see in a young guy because you know it's always good when you got a puppy that's going to bite.
You know what I love about that, too, right now? Just the fact that Byron Murphy is developing the way that he is. Now you got Pat P coming back. If you can play a lot more man right now, all of a sudden you can also do a lot more creative things inside that box, can't you? You can do a lot of creative things inside that box when you feel like you got the perimeter locked down. You can stack that box. Now you can play high-low on a tight end. You can play in and out on a tight end if you want to do that right. We all know how the tight end has hurt the Arizona Cardinals, right? So there's a lot of things now that Vance Joseph, I think, will be able to do now that Pat P is back. Doesn't mean it's going to fix everything defensively. Doesn't mean that, right? This is still a defense that is finding its way as well. But, boy, I'll tell you, that goes a long, long way, guys, in getting this defense right.
Well, you go back to Vance Joseph, his arrival, and how he talked about an attacking 3-4. Well, they haven't been able to attack, you know, without Patrick Peterson. So I think that comes into play. If I'm Daniel Jones and I'm a rookie quarterback, I'm getting ready for that. And it's the Cardinals' pass defense, let's face it, 30th in pass defense. And you're talking about a secondary without an interception right now.
Yeah.
Now, Cardinals lead the league in forced fumbles, but no picks. So here's Patrick Peterson talking about the D.
I felt that I could have had a helping hand in a lot of those games. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there to help my brothers. But now, like I told Kyler when I first came back, he understands how to win football games. Now, as a defense, we have to take the next step in finishing football games because one can do it. Now it's on us to hold up our end of the responsibility and keeping people out of the end zone.
Isn't that interesting how he cites the rookie quarterback? Because if a team believes in the quarterback, right, Max? To me, that's just critical. Both sides of the ball have to believe you have a winning quarterback. And for him to cite that unasked, it just illustrates the confidence this team has in its rookie quarterback right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's critical for both sides of the ball to believe in your quarterback and the guy who is managing, you know, the team, you know, per se. And I mean, I was fortunate enough to have a guy like, you know, Peyton Manning when I came in my rookie year. I mean, we believed in him. Everyone believed, both sides of the ball believed him. So no matter what happened, offensively, defensively, we knew we were always going to be in the game. So I feel like we know that we have an opportunity to win games when we're all sticking together, and that's what it's about.
And did you know you're going to get James Betcher, former Cardinals defensive coordinator? What's that defense look like on film? What do you know you're going to get from Betch?
You know you're going to get a group of guys that's going out and trying to see the ball and get the ball. that's just the one thing you can know about Bitch. I feel like that's always the guys he's always had around him were hard-nosed, hard-working guys. You know, he made sure he brought Marcus into New York, you know what I mean, when he had an opportunity. So you know that's why they're echoing up front on that defense.
I think this is the week, Paulie. I think this is the week we're going to see a team go after Kyler Murray, go after this protection scheme. He's going to close the middle of the field. He's going to bring complex pressure and blitz packages. I think that's his DNA. That's who he is. It's going to be interesting to see if he actually does it.
Hey, tickets on sale for the Halloween night game against the 49ers. That's right, at State Farm Stadium. You go to the Cardinals box office or online at azcardinals.com/tickets. Back to wrap up this edition. Big Red Rage, DJ Humphries, and Max Garcia.
Third and goal, the 2. Warner barks out the call. Fitzgerald in motion to the near side. Play fake. Warner rolling right. Throws right. Fitzgerald. Touchdown! 10th catch already for Larry Fitzgerald today. And the first offensive touchdown for the Cardinals this year. They're within 2 of New York.
So that was the Cardinals' season opener at the New York Giants 2005. That was Kurt Warner's first touchdown pass in a Cardinals uniform. It went to Larry Fitzgerald, who was in his second year, and in that game, Larry had 13 grabs for a 155 and the touchdown.
Wow.
In 2005, DJ Humphries, you were doing what exactly? 2005. Max Garcia, 2005.
Man.
You guys were...
2005, I was in middle school.
Definitely still in middle school.
Yeah, just got to middle school, actually.
You're right.
Actually.
I'm thinking, yeah, you were finishing up elementary school, maybe,
at
that point.
I was in the fifth grade, actually,
Getting ready to go to the Sadie Hawkins.
Sadie Hawkins.
You don't even know what that is.
No, what is that?
It's a dance.
I mean, forget about it. Don't even worry about it. The blank look you just received was staggering.
Sadie Hawkins. I thought it was a lady.
Hey, you know what, though? There's a lot of people out here that actually knew what I was talking about, Paul, just for the record here at Marley's.
You know, Fitz was giving a hard time to Max Williams on the touchdown grab, but come on now. How many old guy jokes does Larry take in the locker room? Do guys dare go after the first ballot Hall of Famer with the old guy jokes?
It's hard to give him old guy jokes when he's playing like he is. You know what I mean?
True.
It's tough. I feel like he's got him before, for sure, for me. Yeah, I give him to him as many times as I can. As many jabs as I can get in on Larry before he get one in on me, I try to.
Right.
Every chance I get.
Okay, so what's your game plan now against Marcus Golden? How about 2015? You were the Cardinals' first-round pick. He was the Cardinals' second-round pick.
Yeah, my guy, MG. Yeah.
I mean, when two guys know each other like that, who has the advantage, the defensive lineman or the offensive lineman? How does that work?
I think all the advantages and stuff like that go out of the window when you're dealing with guys like me and Marcus, you know what I mean? Win, lose, or draw, me and him are going to fight to the end. You know what I mean? That's just both of our natures, and that's just how we are with each other. You know, when you got two alphas in the room, that's what it's going to be. We're going to butt until somebody wins. You know what I mean? And I think that's just – you have to expect it, and I know he's expecting the same thing. You know, it's not one-sided. So I know what to expect when it comes to Marcus. You got to be ready for a fist fight for 4 quarters.
You think he's going to talk to you? You think,
you're
going to talk. You're going to be, copacetic.
I'm never a trash talker. That's just not my style of play. I mean, I'm more of a finisher than talking.
Let the other guy do
a little,
the talking,
I'm a little too hefty for that. You know, I get a little winded doing all that jaw jacking. So I'm more about in between the lines. So I definitely don't have any words, you know what I mean, other than, hey, what's up? How's the family?
See,
you know
I'm looking at two dogs, though. I'm looking at two dogs.
Yeah. That's what I said. All that stuff goes out of the window.
I'm looking at two dogs right here. It's going to be hard to watch the game when that guy is lined up across from you. It's going to be hard to watch the game, the entire play, as opposed to not just focusing on you and Marcus Golden.
Yeah,
because two dogs make a good play.
Heavyweight bout, for sure.
Well, you got Antoine Bethea on that side of the ball. You know what's unbelievable, guys? According to the New York papers, the Giants' defense has been preparing for the Cardinals' offense with a special scout team quarterback to try and replicate Kyler Murray. You know who they're using? Eli Manning. How can they use Eli Manning as their scout team quarterback?
That is disgraceful.
Antoine Bethea is quoted in one of the New York papers as saying that Eli started trying to run around and guys started laughing.
You know what they do, Paul? Removed the 0.
That's rough. That's Eli Manning. It's a Super Bowl champion out there running the scout team.
Paul, for some analysis right
now. Oh, my gosh.
He's removed the 0. That's how he replicates.
Should add a 0 to his 40 time is what they should do. I mean, my goodness. By the way, I've just been handed a note that the Bird Gang is going to be out in force in New York this weekend, including a lot of folks here at the Big Red Rage. Is that accurate?
Right here.
Hey, look at that.
That's right.
And we have a special attendee from the UK tonight, Wolf. Are you serious?
That's exactly right. Where is she? All the way from London.
Nice.
That's right, Paulie.
The British Bird Gang is here
as
well. Very well done. Hey, special thanks as always, Jim Almahandro, Walt Ellis, Cody Fincher, Ron Wolfe, I'm Paul Calvisi. DJ Humphreys, everyone. Special guest Max Garcia. Cardinals going to New York, trying for their first three-game win streak since 2015.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with DJ Humphreys. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
Woo! What's up, what?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.